Hey everybody, this is Doc Mack from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It's Monday, December 28th, 2015, and I am joined here by Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
How's it going, everyone? It's been a while.
It has been. Yeah. It's been 3 weeks.
Almost, yeah. I think the 9th was our last one.
That's crazy.
Yep.
There's been a lot going on here keeping us from doing these. We've everything from a lot of people coming in. We've had our NARC event. We've had tons of cabinet upgrades. New game every Monday. So definitely a lot to go over. So let's jump right in with scoring.
Cool. Well, our scoreboard, if you look on Orcade, the scoreboard only shows the last 25 scores, which right now is only today and yesterday. So we apologize if we miss anyone, but we're going to do the best we can and cover all the scores that we remember that people set. So right now, we have a introductory world record by Tim Foley on Dragon Blaze going on right now. He's probably going to up that score before he leaves.
I'm sure there's... We'll get to Dragon Blaze in a minute.
All right.
More on Dragon Blaze in a few.
All right, cool.
But we have had so many players coming in and just putting in massive amounts of scores, which is just awesome. Tim Foley and Sean Quigley... Massey, Phil Fenton, all of them have just put in just plethora of scores in various games.
Yeah, so we'll do some highlights. but yeah, just keep that in mind. If we miss you, I apologize. We're gonna try to get Orcade to show more than just the last 25 at some point, because it'd be really good to highlight everything that was done. Because I mean, there's some good stuff going on here.
Absolutely.
So I know the weekend after the last podcast, Haruza set a new world record on Outfoxies.
Yes.
And very impressive. Did you have that before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, I thought that was yours, yeah. So he didn't beat you by much, though, right?
No. It's definitely a hard game. It comes down to just not taking damage.
It's like most fighting games, then.
Yeah. Like, they charge you for your hospital bill. So right. You'll get a score, and then they'll deduct all these points. So really cool game. Happy John got that. I know he's been working a long time on it.
Yep.
And very impressive that he got it. And I had watched him finish the last level for the first time. He continued through it just so he'd have some semblance of an idea of what to do when he got there.
Right.
When he had his good run. So it's really awesome that he got that score. I know he put in a lot of effort to get it.
Cool. So he got the 1cc when he did it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Actually, you know what? He might not have. I think he just had...
just a higher score?
Yeah, I think he just had a higher score.
Did you 1cc it on your score?
I 1cc'd it on mine.
All right, cool. So there's still some room to wiggle.
There's definitely a lot of room on that.
Cool. I know that weekend also, Mike Waters was in town. He set a new, I believe it's a world record on Turtles in Time, Ninja Turtles, of 214. It was really nice to see him again. I know he travels from a way out, so congrats to him on that Ninja Turtles in Time score. He had he already had the world record, but he upped it by a little bit. He originally beat Slips' score, which was very good. It was a little over 200.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm. As far as other scoring, let's see here. I'm taking a look through our Facebook page, because a lot of our scoring highlights. Steven Lucas, I appreciate what he does when he highlights the top scores coming
Absolutely.
Through.
Absolutely. Like, it's so cool that he's like really into our scene. It's unfortunately he's not here more. I know he travels in from pretty far out, but it's cool that he's into the scoring scene and wants to just kind of make sure that everybody gets their due credit. Just with so many scores coming in, we usually don't make posts on every score, but he's definitely keeping track of all the world records. And
yeah, it's really cool to see, and it is appreciated.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So when I the next post I saw was a the Monday after our last podcast, Jamie had come in and put a new world record up in Freeze.
Yeah, another one of mine.
Yeah,
he's taken.
Yeah,
like that's
what was the other one? Oh, King of the Monsters 2. That's right.
Yeah,
that was the other one he had.
Yeah, it's cool that the scores are going up, and Freeze is a really great game. I saw as a celebratory. Act, he froze a world record card.
Was it your card or his old one?
I don't know.
I have to see if I can find that picture again. It's on Facebook somewhere in our productions group.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool. I like the theatricality is fun.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
We also had Rampart. Ian, I believe is the guy's name, increased his already current world record on the same night. That was last Monday. And I think that was all. That was the MIA. We released that on the floor. That was the 14th, I think. MIA was released on the floor, and then Brian Shulo put up the best score, which has stood since then. So it's good.
Yeah, that was. We'll get to that as well. That was.
It's part of our Monday events.
Yeah, they've been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So.
So yeah, that was the 14th.
There's. Again, been just so many things going on.
You had a world record on Wrestle War. Didn't you wrestle that away from James White?
Yeah, that was one, and there's still a...
The scoring on this game is wonky.
It's... Oh, yeah, it is. That was one that had stood for a while, and, you know, honestly, there's a hot dog place by me that had it.
Growing up?
Oh,
okay.
And, just visually, it was like, it's a pretty cool looking game, but it's not very control wise. It's just
kind of a masher,
complete masher.
Yeah, like when you get in a grapple, you just mash the buttons, yeah, and whoever presses the button fastest gets it.
It's that not even necessarily that. Like it is, but it sometimes just doesn't matter how fast you're pressing it. Okay. Like sometimes it's just like, no, it's their turn to throw you.
Okay,
and it just happens. So
okay.
Looking at that score, the way the scoring in that works is if you get a pin before 2 minutes, you get like a full point.
It's like a maximum bonus, yeah.
And if you are 30 seconds less than the max, then it starts going down every second.
Right.
So even if you get past guys, there's like no bonus.
Then there's, like, James hit, like, a bonus round where he got so many points that he blew away everyone else's score at the time.
He got a 500,000-point bonus, and I think the score was only...
It was 700-and-something K.
700-something K. Yeah. Like, if you do the first round properly, you can get, like, 130,000 in your first match. Mm-hmm. And then a 500,000-point bonus, so he was literally getting to the second guy. Mm-hmm. But the second, maybe third guy. But the way, just playing it for 3 or 4 times, 5 times, I figured out that if you do a special pin,
mm-hmm.
It's like a suplex pin, it will give you a bonus round.
Oh, every time you do that
pin? Every time you do that pin.
Oh, okay, nice. And then it's just a matter of getting the good bonuses?
Yeah, and if you just constantly tap the button from the as fast as you can from the start of the bonus, it will... every time give you a 200,000-point bonus.
Oh, nice.
So I hadn't seen James's 500,000-point bonus, but...
That might have been like a dumb luck thing.
Yeah, it was... Like, that kind of stuff, it makes scoring so... It takes away from the game, and that...
Right, that game in particular, like, the better player didn't... I mean, not necessarily the better player didn't have the score. It's whoever hit the biggest bonus had the better score, and that before, you know, you beat more wrestlers and had more bonus points.
Right.
So, like, that's a game where the scoring didn't necessarily determine the best player at the time.
Right.
So maybe a new track is needed on that game where we could say number of wrestlers beaten or something.
Well, to me, it would just be throw out that bonus value.
Okay. Subtract that from the score.
Yeah, just because it's
random.
I guess it could be broken down to, like, I know how to get 200,000 every time. Right. So, I don't know. It's one of those, do you make a rule for...
Or do you leave it?
You just leave it.
And, yeah.
Like, if people are... Even with a 500,000-point bonus, it wasn't an insurmountable...
Right.
It was just...
Now, what if someone figures out the way to get that every time? They're going to have the world record.
And while they should.
Yeah.
Like...
For finding it out?
Like, there's not a lot to that game. It's just kind of like... it comes down to button presses and everybody else quickly. Who had played it, I don't really think knew the game very well.
Right.
So much of it just seems kind of random, but the more it gets, like, pushed through and you know what's going on and know how to get the bonus round to come up, like, you can get that. Like, again, there's so much more. There's a lot of room on that score to go up.
Okay.
Even it's over a million now, and it's still like
still room to grow.
So still more wrestlers to beat. You can get that bonus round on every guy, and
okay.
So it's interesting though. Hopefully, we'll get see some more people playing it.
Yep. That was a little mini ripple. You know how that happens, where someone gets a score, and then everyone like, oh, what's this game? So I like to see that happen.
Yeah.
So basically the weekend after that, I want to say it was the 19th and weekend of the 19th and 20th, we had a few great scores go up. Kelly Tharp, who put up a score of over 2 million on Mousetrap for a new house high.
Yes.
Which is incredible. He's definitely a world-class player.
Absolutely.
And then in the same weekend, I believe the same day, we had a new house high on Galaga.
Yeah. That was very impressive watching him play that, and just so cool to see these games get played at...
I believe his name is Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just at that amazing level of skill to be able to be breaking... he got like 2 million points or something, and...
Yep, 2.3 some million. It's insane.
He seemed a little distracted, like his family was there. And I know they wanted to play games with him, too.
Yeah, and he's James, like, was there in the Santa suit distracting him.
Yeah. Huge shout-outs to James White, who came here on Christmas. He came on Christmas Eve and brought us some amazingly good brownies.
Yep.
And then he was here on Christmas as Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you for doing that, James. We appreciate that. I'm sure some kids got a kick out of playing games with Santa.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was great that the community does stuff like that. Sean Quigley did that on Halloween. He was here in costume, chasing people around.
Oh, yeah, he had that Grim Reaper costume. Yeah. Following people with a scythe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's cool. So, oh, here's Jamie's picture. Oh, that was your score. He froze in that freeze thing. All right, so... As far as scoring, there's a few more things, but one other thing that had to do with scoring, I wanted to shout out Norbert for being the only customer so far to defeat Shinakuma.
Yes. You had made a really cool challenge to get people to come in and play Street Fighter Zero...
Have you beaten him yet? Zero 2 Alpha?
Zero 2 Alpha.
Yeah.
Sorry, I always want to say Zero 3 Upper
for
some reason, but I have not yet. I've gotten very, very close with Zangief several times.
I know Sunk tried. I think Haruza's tried, and
Quigley's, like, a lot of people have tried.
Yeah, I've done it, and Norbert's done it.
Yeah,
but I shouldn't count because I'm an employee. I mean, I count, but
you count.
Yeah, I had a chance to try it before I issued the challenge, just to make sure it was doable. So I wanted to make sure it was actually able to be done before I issued the challenge. But yeah, so Norbert's the first customer that did it.
That's awesome.
He did it with Sagat, so I actually recorded it too, so we can put it up on YouTube later if he wants.
Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah, that challenge will be ongoing. If you want to come in, you know, we'll set you up, and I'll show you how to activate the code to fight against him. As far as scoring on our next Monday mystery game, we'll talk about that when we get to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And that might be it for scoring up to the last few days. This weekend, we had Phil Fenton come in town.
Yeah, Phil, so cool when he comes in. He actually brought with him a classic track and field trophy that he won back in the day.
Yep.
And he was going to come out the previous week, wasn't feeling good, and he was feeling better this week and made the trip out. And he spent a lot of time on track and field. He's such an amazing player.
He uses the eight-finger technique, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. If you haven't seen that technique, there's videos out. I think Hector Rodriguez has the most well-known player. He's the world record holder and the house high holder, actually, as well. But he uses all of his fingers except for his thumbs to strum the buttons in between the action button in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty awesome thing to watch.
Yeah. I think he was showing Haruza some tips, and again, so cool that he doesn't just kind of keep his how he does this stuff, and he shows everybody.
Yeah,
like, and then it's just, but nobody can replicate it.
Like, right, that's the cool thing. That's why I think, like, showing a magician showing his tricks and still people being mystified by it is kind of cool, because, like,
sure,
you think you should get it, but it's not that easy. Seeing it doesn't mean it's easy, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's really cool that he shares his technique. I know he's a Gauntlet player as well, so
yeah.
He put up a couple scores on Gauntlet and track and field and Robotron, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had quite a few scores, actually, besides his track and field score. He almost hit our house high. Our house high is around 90,000, set by world record holder Hector Rodriguez, whose world record's about 95K, which is insane. And I think that might do it for scoring.
Yeah.
Let me take a quick look here at the Facebook group. Yeah, we had Mousetrap, Galaga, Star Trek. Oh, Norbert also... raised the world record on Marshall Masters.
You took that back.
And then I took that back a couple days later, maybe a day or two later. And I think we've had a good back and forth now, like three or four times. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Hopefully we'll see him come in and try to take it back again.
I know there's been some action on some of the King of Fighters as well.
Yeah, Hector Flores is, I think it's his second or third King of Fighters world record that he's put up. So he just took 2001 on the 26th.
Yeah.
So it's just a couple days ago.
Very cool. Very cool.
And yeah, catches us up for scoring.
That's excellent. So that's cool. I guess moving on, we can. Been doing a lot of cabinet upgrades lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just with the limited space that we have. It's allowed us to focus on making the cabinets that we have even better. So literally in the last like two or three weeks, we're able to upgrade several marquees. Mm-hmm. We got a new Xenophobe marquee, which...
The other one was like sun faded, right?
Yeah. A lot of the arcade, like red is like the worst color for anything in an arcade. Mm-hmm. Like the red always just kind of like bleeds out. And our Xenophobe marquee was yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one, it's the artwork's by Brian Cullen, and it's just one that I definitely want to have looking nice. And
sure.
So we got a new marquee for Xenophobe, we got a new marquee for Golden Axe, and a new marquee for Operation Thunderbolt. So those three cabinets are looking really nice.
Cool.
Also, we've got a new
like the bezel, new
screen bezel for Shadow Dancer.
Yep.
We had done a warehouse raid. Managed to find one on a control panel that we were getting with a control panel. So
the control panel doesn't fit our cabinet though, because it's not an original cab, right?
No, it was a conversion of a tap. Somebody converted Tapper into Shadow Dancer.
Okay.
It's definitely an interesting conversion.
Yeah.
But it looked nice. Looked nice.
Cool.
But cool that it they let us put that in our cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we also put a new kick panel on Galaxian.
Yeah,
which you helped me do that.
Yeah, I think it looks so much better now because it was kind of bare in the front before.
Yeah,
and like the wood on the bottom was starting to look a little rough, but now it's totally covered with nice artwork. So
yeah,
it's looking a lot better now.
And then we put up new side art on Qbert. Which, again, Jeff Lee, creator Qbert, hangs out here. That was one of the things that
yep.
He's got signed our cabinet and everything. And
I think people putting their hands up there, they're like rubbing away a signature.
They are. We got to get them to re-sign it and then seal it.
Yeah.
That's high on the list just because we're so fortunate that he's close. And
mm-hmm.
So I think we're actually going to have like as many of our cabinets signed by the people that worked on them.
It's cool.
So I think that's a cool thing.
Yep.
Our last cabinet upgrade was Alien Syndrome, which when we originally we just had Alien Syndrome in a generic...
Just JAMA cabinet?
JAMA cabinet that we had, just a conversion. Maybe a month ago I found a Alien Syndrome cabinet with the topper that had been converted to Klax.
Oh, right, right.
That we had shipped in from New Jersey, but it didn't have any artwork on it. And it took me forever to find somebody that had actually scanned in and revectorized all the artwork on the control panel and side art. So finally got those on, and I'm so happy with how that cabinet looks now.
Does it have the original control panel art now?
Or? It has control panel art. The control panel actually has the front Sega logo is cut out, and then the instruction card is cut out,
okay.
And they're backlit.
Wow, that's awesome.
So the cabinet actually, the control panel lights up, and very happy with how that all turned out.
I gotta check it out. I must have walked right past it and not noticed it.
Yeah. No, it's
with the topper and that, amazing. It looks awesome.
It's very standout now. So.
Cool.
So aside from that, one of the other cool things that we've had going on here recently, we had the guys from Skycursor came in.
Yes.
Yeah.
When was that? That was Monday last week.
Was it Monday?
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I thought it was a Thursday. But who knows? Yeah, Skycursor, great arcade game that just came out. They're still putting in new levels and stuff. We have officially decided, we've known for a while that we're getting it. We decided on a date of January 16th for the big launch event of Skycursor here.
That's a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Saturday. Two Saturdays from our upcoming Saturday.
Yes.
Cool.
So super anxious for that. I believe we are getting the new level.
Nice.
Will be the debut location for the new level of Skycursor, and hopefully all the shmup guys come in for it. And
right now you can play it at Retrocade, right?
They have it Logan's and Retrocade.
Okay.
So it's very cool that it's getting out there, and huge thanks to them for coming in, and they gave us a custom poster and everything.
That's
and
right.
T-shirts. And
very cool.
We've got that framed and on the wall already, and it's so cool that they're just keeping it exclusive in the arcade and just doing a great job and really working on it. So
yeah, I like to see the developer support. Like, they're going out to the locations. They could just call us and tell us these things, or you know, to ship stuff to us, but they're bringing it to us and talking to us, which is awesome. You don't see that.
You don't. You really don't.
Yeah.
I
think that was the same day we had Vert Vic Marlin from Tenpence here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talked with
him. Oh, yeah, that's right. He came with him. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. They did all come together.
Yeah.
Did an interview with him, and really great guy, and definitely check out
Tenpence podcast. Arcade podcast is great. They have... they do one about every two and a half weeks, and really high production value. Definitely check them out. They tend to focus on like one game per episode, and they give you an intro to the gameplay, tell you about it. Then usually they have a challenge where you can submit scores to them, and on the next podcast they'll read off the winner who set the best score of the game that they were talking about. It's not always the game they cover. Like I know the latest podcast, they were challenging people to put up their best score on Final Fight. So I thought that was kind of cool. So maybe Brian Shula wants to listen and send in his score to the Tenpence podcast.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So moving on. Also, we just had Nate Allard out, who, for those who, he travels in from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how old he is now. I think he's like 15 or 16.
Something like that.
He made a game called The Lost Glitch, and he travels around to all these different arcades, and he's been coming here pretty much.
It's an arcade game?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he did. He had full cabinet art made for it, and did everything on it himself, like the artwork and some of the cabinet work and the full game.
Wow.
Like, so really cool that he did that. So it was awesome. Him and his family come out here, and always cool catching up with him. And he always has so many games he wants to see here at the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely very, very excited for the expansion to take place.
We have a ton of games, but there's still a lot we could get.
His top request is Galaxian 3.
Didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, that's... it is a six-player walk-in theater game.
Wow.
It's literally... It might be bigger than the next expansion that we have. Like, it is a giant thing. It's... So...
Is it how recent a release is that?
You know, I believe it runs on... I couldn't even tell you. Okay. It runs on Laserdiscs, as I recall.
Oh, wow, okay.
But six-player Laserdisc game.
Cool.
With multiple Laserdiscs.
Dang.
So,
nice.
Let's see. So what else do we have to go over?
We have the... Oh, you already did that Sky Cursor event. Do we have any upcoming events that we want to talk about, or is nothing yet announced?
Aside from the Sky Cursor event,
How about the Monday things? We can go over
those. Yeah, we can go over the game of the week. The last 3 weeks we've been doing a new mystery game of the week. Every Monday, 5 o'clock, we put a new arcade game out on the floor. We started first with Konami's Missing in Action, MIA, the sequel to Russian Attack.
Is it officially the sequel to Russian Attack?
In Japan it is.
Okay.
It's the same name in Japan, but okay. In the U.S., they just
called it MIA?
Yeah.
Okay. Still fun. Yeah, I still haven't put some time into it.
Super Russian Attack wouldn't have...
Yeah. The graphics are upgraded, two-player co-op. Currently, Brian Shilo has the highest score on it, and he won our tournament on the first day of release. He put up a little over 250,000, and I believe he beat the first loop of the game.
He did not.
Oh, he did not?
He got to the first...
He got to the POWs.
He got to the POWs, and then at that level, you have to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran to go get John to Haruza to witness the score. And he came back and didn't realize that the game was still going.
And the POWs were all killed.
Everyone was dead.
Yes. Nice. So far, no one's challenged the score. It's stood since that night. We'll see if anyone can give it a shot.
I know James White has been putting a lot of time on it, and I've seen a lot of people on it. Mm-hmm. It's a very impressive score.
Yeah.
When he did it, John came over and told me that he 1cc'd it, and I was like,
really?
Yeah. And there is a second loop.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know Russian Attack loops infinitely, but I don't know if this one just has two loops and done or what.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it. And I do know it does at least have a second loop. Hopefully he can get back up there again. Mm-hmm. I know Jeremiah's been playing it, and that first day, like, everybody was out. Tibbetts was out, and Mossy's.
Fred was here, right?
And, was Fred here for
I think
one?
He was, yeah.
He might have been. Great seeing Fred DeHart, Gamer of the Year, 2013.
14.
Yeah, but after MIA, we put up Star Trek.
The next Monday.
That was the following Monday, and I know James White played that a ton, and we've been having a little problems with the monitor, so that should be back up hopefully in the next day or so.
Cool.
Just because I know everybody's been very excited to... play that, and it's those vector monitors are just so difficult to keep up and running.
That day, the monitor was blinking. Most people had a chance to try it, but after that day, it wasn't reliable at all.
Yeah.
So James won the tournament for that day, and no one's really been able to challenge it just yet. But he put in just under a little under 200,000 on that one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I forgot to mention during scoring. I wanted to give a shout out to Fred, who put in an awesome Dodon Pachi score.
Yeah.
He's starting to near Matt Walter's score. He's got. Over 30 million on the game when Walters, I think, put around 50 million in.
Yeah.
So he's getting up there, and it's cool to see him work on such a game that takes a lot of dedication.
It really does. It's great to watch him play, like, so many of the games. You know, like, watching him play Mars Matrix,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the funnest things for me to watch
in
this arcade is Fred on Mars Matrix. And
yep.
Just seeing him put time on Dodon Pachi it's awesome, too. So.
Cool.
Moving on with Game of the Week. This week, we literally only 2 hours ago just put up Dragon Blaze.
Yep.
From Saikyo. Really, really cool shooter that came out in 2000.
It's going to be in a 2-in-1 with our Cyvern, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
It's our Dragon Cab.
The Dragon Cab.
Yeah.
Really, really cool game. I believe there was one in Italy, according to Orcade. And Tibbetts said that he had played it at...
Ground Control
out in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So not sure if they had it or still have it or.
I checked Orcade and it's not showing, so maybe it's off their floor now.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Or they just haven't updated it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, mm-hmm. but we have it. So that's,
so come on out, yeah. It's, the monitor is nice. It's a really nice big monitor on it.
Yeah.
The game is easy on the fingers. You can hold down the button to fire, which makes it more appealing to people like me who don't want to press the button all the time. But if you've played any of the Psycho shooters, they kind of have a lot of similar elements where like you can run into enemies and they don't kill you. You'll just do a power down and it sends the rank down at the same time. So it makes your shot less powerful, but also adapts the difficulty down slightly. Just the enemy shots will kill you. But it seems like it's a lot of fun. I hope some people put some time into it.
Yeah. Huge shout outs, Tim Foley, traveling in. It's snowing really bad out and
it came out.
He made the trip out. I know Mike Beal is coming out for that, too. And rumors of Matt Walters coming in, too, which he was another one that I had in mind when we were getting it.
For sure.
Seeing how much he enjoyed Cyvern. And,
absolutely.
Hopefully John Haruza, too, will also be putting some time on it.
Nice.
So, let's see. What else? Yeah, just great. You know, it's one of the coolest things recently. And again, we get it every day. There's people that we have our regulars in, and you can tell they're always enjoying it and having fun. And this Christmas, we were open, and we had just under 100 people here for Christmas.
That's awesome.
And so many of them were saying that this was going to be their new, this is their tradition now.
Yeah.
And they've been coming. Some had said they'd been here the last 3 years, and it's really awesome that people are making it a thing.
Yeah, I remember working on Christmas Eve. I've had a bunch of families say, yeah, we do this every Christmas Eve, where families come from out of town and they want to come here, and
yeah.
It's really cool to see.
It's really, like, I was here most of Christmas Day, just hanging out, and just really cool.
Oh, shout out to James White's family, mother, father, whoever baked those brownies, they were delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot, that was Christmas Eve that I think he brought those
out?
That
was Christmas Eve, yeah.
Okay. That was awesome.
But yeah, it's cool to have people show up on Christmas and looking forward to New Year's. So, it should be fun.
Cool, I'll be here, I'm working New Year's, so come out and
awesome.
Play me in Marshall Masters.
No, so you playing Will the other day in Marshall Masters.
He wasn't having fun with it. He didn't like it.
Yeah. No,
I mean, we were having fun. I was having fun, at least. I was wrapping cauldrons on his head from all the way across the screen, and I don't know. My guy
running
seemed pretty...
Running through with 20 packs of armor on, and...
Yeah, I have a half-screen armored move. Will said by the end of the round, he's like, this feels like Doomsday all over again. Original Doomsday.
I guess one of the other things that we should cover, event, our most recent event that we had.
The NARC event.
Mm-hmm. Developers Day. Man, that was just such an awesome, fun day. NARC, for those that don't know, was the first arcade game that I ever purchased back when I was 16 or something.
Wow. Do you have it in the garage or do you have it inside your house?
I had it in my room.
Oh, nice.
And, I played it quite a bit, especially since it was my only arcade game.
Yeah.
But something about it, just the visuals on it, just it was so ahead of its time. It came out in 1988.
It looks like a game from the mid-90s if you look at it now.
It really does.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed 1988. It seems later, late MK time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a bunch of the developers come in. We had Eugene Jarvis, who did like Robotron and Defender. He's the owner of Raw Thrills.
Yep.
So he continues the arcade legacy with like the Big Buck Hunter games and the Fast and Furious games and everything. And George Petro, who worked on Revolution X and Trog and so many cool games. And George had given us an unreleased level.
Exclusive
to the Galloping Ghost Arcade, and went and wrote new ROMs for us, and It's a bonus level where you're actually flying the helicopter and you're just dropping rockets on guys and you can fly low and run them over.
So you're invincible, right? It's like a bonus round?
You can get out of the helicopter.
Doesn't seem smart.
It doesn't. Like, there's no need to. Okay. Like, you can...
I'll stay in the helicopter.
Stay in the helicopter. They give you unlimited rockets.
Okay.
But for those that want to go for a score, that want to jump out and get those busts.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to do then. So the scores in that are not going to be comparable to scores set on normal Narc birds, right? Because there's more points to be had?
It needs to be tracked as a separate track. We have it in there temporarily. Again, it's one of a kind. We want to make it so it's fully accessible all the time, but until we have that situated, we'll probably put the original board back in just because we've had a lot of people interested in putting in scores for it.
Right.
And they want to go against what the existing world record is and everything. So,
which is you?
It is. I'm pretty disappointed with the score that I have right now.
I heard you made a resolution to improve that score.
Oh yeah, okay. It's on my list of. I would like to be playing more often, but it's again.
With what time? Yeah.
There's a lot going on. So hopefully I'll get some more time on it soon. But again, even prepping for the NARC event was just a massive undertaking. Not only did we have Eugene and George Petro out here, we had Larry DeMar, who worked on Robotron and so many other great games. Larry brought us a ROM upgrade, a new ROM board for Robotron.
Nice.
Called the Tie-Dye ROM set, which fixed a handful of glitches, a handful of bugs in it where fixed the live counter. There's a bug where it would crash the game when you did a certain shot.
Yeah, if you hit a certain pixel, it would crash the game. I remember hearing about this.
Yeah. So all that's fixed, and he brought it in, he's gave it to us. He helped me install it, and it was like...
That's cool.
It was really awesome. Yeah. There's not many locations that have it. And to have one personally given to us by Larry DeMar is just amazing. He's been so generous with us. He was one of the first industry people to come hang out with us, and just really cool that he came out for that. Who else was here? We had Warren Davis came in from California.
Yeah.
He also brought us a giant Us versus Them poster that is a one-of-a-kind showing never-before-seen pictures from the filming of Us versus Them.
Yep.
Which was just so cool and, again, so generous of him to give that to us.
There's a ton of great pictures from the event on our Facebook Productions page.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, check those out. You'll see all the developers that were here. And
George Petro also gave us a unreleased. There's a game called The Predators.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 4-player game. Never got released. He gave us a piece of side art and a challenge to try to find the game.
Nice.
So that's been high on my list. And
I saw the side art hiding over there in the corner by what's that game? Space Lords. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Todd Allen came in, who worked on games like The Grid. Great catching up with him. And also, thanks to George Petro, who contacted Mark Lafredo. Mark mm-hmm. Lafredo came in, who was the actor that played the first character in NARC, the member of the Dos Lof gang, as well as Mr. Big.
Yep.
it's just meeting that guy. He brought his family. Really cool having them out and talking with them. And huge shout outs to you guys and Phil Pops especially for heading up getting the Mr. Big bust made.
Yep.
Just
complete with hat and sunglasses.
Complete with hat and sunglasses. We have tons of pictures of that on the Facebook page, and really, really cool, and thanks, Phil, for doing that, and that was really tremendous to receive that.
Yep. It'll be in the display case pretty soon.
Yeah.
As soon as I redo that display case, we'll have it in there. It just doesn't quite fit the way we have it set up now.
Right.
Yeah.
And then who else stopped out? Brian Cullen was here. Jeff Lee was here.
Yeah.
Mike Vinicor showed up.
Yep.
Josh Shwee, like just so many amazing industry people showing up and hanging out and I learned so much more about NARC. Like I thought I knew a lot about NARC before, and just to hear so many of the development stories, just really, really, absolutely amazing.
Cool. Yeah, is that the last event we had?
I think that is the last event
we had going.
Got the Sky Cursor event coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Probably do. Probably won't say what, but I assume something cool will be going on New Year's for the people that want to spend it with us.
Cool.
Got an update on Dark Presence. I know we have a lot of people asking about that often. We're progressing forward. We've been, as always, it's been a tremendous... We've been having programming issues for the longest time, and we're finally trudging forward on that. But the game, it's...
Yeah, it had a really good response at NJ GamerCon.
It did. Yeah. And it was... I honestly was not... We had done a frame rate update right before that. It was... I wish we had waited to do that, but... We'll get it all dialed in, and Dark Presence continues on. So stay tuned for more updates on that. I believe on Wednesday, for those that have kept up with the updates on Dark Presence, we have, if you're playing the game and you finish the game with whatever character you finish
on one credit,
a statue will dispense out of the machine. And we've had a sculptor from McFarlane Toys actually sculpt them all, and we sent out for our first release of them to be done, and nice. They're coming back from paint possibly as early as Wednesday.
Wow.
We might have the first full set, so stay tuned to the Facebook page to see the first shots of the full set of the Dark Presence action figures, or statues, I should say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Facebook group you want to join is Galloping Ghost Productions. There's a fan page that's just Galloping Ghost Arcade, but it doesn't allow the local community to really interact. So definitely try to join the productions group if you're listening to us on YouTube and are just new to us. You know, we'd greatly appreciate you joining the productions group.
Also, huge shout outs to Sunk and Edge, who have recently done a lot of work on our website.
The website update, yeah.
GallopingGhost.com or GallopingGhostArcade.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fielding a lot of the questions in the forums there?
Supposedly, yeah. I'm going to be in charge of that. We'll see how well I keep up with it. I'll try to keep up with it.
Are you on the forums every day now?
Any day I work, I try to take a peek on there. I've been trying to answer stuff. But I'll try to keep up with it better this time. Because last time, a lot of forum questions went unanswered, and I feel bad that I let them slip. But this time, I'm going to try to be more active on the forums and kind of post. I might use it more to also post some of my like thoughts on games and stuff, and try to be more interactive with the community there as well.
It's awesome. Very cool. We have a few things that we're going to be announcing on there soon, which will be coming up. Another big thing we got to talk about is the expansion.
Yep.
That has been a little bit going a little slower than I'd hoped. We have currently landed on doing it in three phases. So we have three expansions coming up. The first one was in itself is a two-part one where we're trying to take over the front half of Air Chef, our neighboring building that separates.
It's just their front though, right?
It's just their front.
Right.
But it'll allow us to get from the arcade to our production offices. But we're going to leave the production wall up first and just use it for straight arcade space. But it should give us about space for 35 to 40 more games. So very excited for that. The first step was to give them our back area, which has now been tiled and painted. So as early as tomorrow, we hope to start moving a lot of their tables and stuff over there, and then we can start construction hopefully before the week's out on our side.
Okay.
So that'll allow us, as soon as that's done, then we'll have a place to put some games. And we've been doing, we just did another warehouse raid last week. I'm going back to that warehouse tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. The secret warehouse.
The secret warehouse. For one or two more games.
Yeah.
And then I'm done there. But then there's been another warehouse that popped up with 120 games.
Let's raid that one.
I don't know what's there, so I'm anxious to see what's there. And then there's another one that has about 200 games, but not a lot of stuff that's of interest to me.
Okay.
So.
Is it because it's stuff we have, or just games you don't want to carry here?
A lot of stuff. A little of both. There's a lot of stuff that we have, and then just stuff that's not spectacular, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But.
Cool. That's about all. I didn't have much else. We had just a lot of scores. Like, our scoreboard's been moving so fast.
Yeah.
And thank you for everyone that's just been coming up and putting in, you know, scores. I see a ton of scores put up by Sean and Tim, and people just trying to get more scores up on their name and just not caring if it's whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be the best in the world, you know.
And I've been talking with David Hernley, who owns Orcade, mm-hmm. and he's saying there's a lot of updates coming, so...
Can't wait.
Yeah. It's...
I forgot to mention, Sean upped his Circus Charlie score just the other day.
Oh, yeah.
He's just under 400K now, I think. He's getting close to Jamie's score.
And he does not want to use the...
little loop trick or whatever?
Loop trick, yeah.
I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but... I don't know. You know my thoughts on that. We'll have to discuss this in another podcast. It's a padding / progressing issue, I think, in that one that people are talking about.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well... Definitely, we will not take another 3 weeks before we do another podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll try to keep up on things and bring you all the latest goings on. And I don't know. Well, definitely, if you have ideas of what you want us to talk about or stuff you want to see at the arcade,
post it on Facebook or let us know.
Yeah,
you know, we'll hit you up. Try to answer it if we can. If we can give away details.
So. Cool. Well, I guess that wraps it up. Thanks, everybody. This is Doc Mac and Pete Hahn, your Gamer of the Year.
Every time.
For the Galloping Ghost Arcade. Thanks, everybody. We hope to see you around the arcade soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.